This is an oral history interview in the Black Heritage in Upper Piedmont Project. The interview is taking place on February the 20th, 1990, at Miss Floyd McDonald's home in Pickens, South Carolina. The interviewer is Will Hyatt.
Do you have any you want to specify that you just want to know about, or you want to know about all the different white people went to school and how we came up and things like that?
That would be fine. That's what we're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever comes to mind that you can think of, particularly I don't know how old are you. Now, if you don't mind. 82.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have been born
1907.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Unless your birthday was just in January.
July the 4th. 1907.
Mm-hmm. So, let me go ahead and get your full name.
Mm-hmm. My name is Floyd Floyd.
Okay.
I don't have any middle name. You have any original Kenny.
M-C-K?
K-I-N-N-E-Y.
N-N-E-Y.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm married Frank McDonald, Jr.
Okay.
I have two daughters, if you want to get the one is.
Okay.
Melinda, she's married Reverend Scipio. I'm sure you heard of him. He's Pastor Jones,
uh-huh.
In Pickens County. And Irish Robinson, the one that works here with me. She would do the work there.
Okay. What can you tell me about, I'd like to know first a little bit about your parents.
I'm coming to that. I'm just trying to get you where, my father was Anson McKinney, and I was born in Oconee County. And we moved to Pickens County during the time of the Toxaway. Dam bursted, on the Oconee County. Have you heard about that?
No, ma'am. I've never
heard. Well, we had a dam. It's called Toxwood, coming from Kiwi Mountains back there where the plant is now.
Mm-hmm.
What is that plant name?
Oconee Nuclear?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, we lived right in the section above there. And the Toxwood Dam was in North Carolina, but it broke. And started washing away homes, and that's why we were moved over into Pickens County. People were hollering in the mountains, the dams burst, and people were grabbing the children and getting out just whatever they could, and we were moving to other grounds to keep them being washed away in the dam.
Did you have any warning that it was?
No, just people hollering. Wasn't any way for you to have any telephone or anything. They just holler out, the dam is bursting, get away, move out. And everybody grabbed what they could and just run away from there. And my daddy's oldest brother went back over into Seneca that way, and because he lived on the other side of Kiwi River. And we lived above there. Our home place was above there. So we Daddy just put us all in a wagon and come across the river. And we went to the McQuarter place. That's the place right over here going towards Greenville on the back road. Mr. McQuarter, Billy McQuarter, I can remember. Well, very young, I still remember that. We settled there and we worked in the farm there. Mr. Billy McQuarter's place. And we lived there 1 year. And that's the time my youngest sister, which was Chaney, was born, and that the rest of us, now the 13 of us. But there's only 12 when we got over here. We had one assistant.
Who was born here?
Born in Pickens. And all the rest of us came from Old Pickens. Called it Old Pickens at that time. Mm-hmm. I guess it's still called it somewhere. I don't know. Since I've been away from over there too long. And then we stayed at Mr. Billy McCord's about a year, maybe 2 years, I'm not sure. But then we moved over to 12 miles on a little place. We called the big two-story house, still lived there. And we lived in an old house with a big old house too, but it was never was sealed up anything, but it was over on Mr. Lucas' place. It was back against the woods up there. And we were reared up there till we were got up in. Well, I guess I was about, I would say, 12 or 13 years old. And we moved then back to Beaumont. It used to be the Sizemore place, all up there, but Mr. T.L. Bivens bought all that land back from there, and we lived on his place for a number of years, just about then we'd stay up on Mr. Bivens' place.
So you're what number in the 13? Are you one of the older or one of the younger children?
No, they're two more children younger than I am. But they're not legal. All of my people are born. But me, I'm born. And my daddy was named Ansel McKinney.
Ansel McKinney. Mm-hmm. What did he, what was his occupation? He was farming?
Sharecropper, or whatever it was, because we had a, I don't know exactly how to phrase that, but we had our own team. I think sharecropper knew they have to use the owner's tools and mules and things like that, but we had our own things. We plowed and hoed cotton ourselves in. In that way, we were able to take two shares and give them the owner one share. Now, the way that was, if we picked one cotton, 100 pounds of cotton, we give him 25 pounds to the owner. And of course, we took the 75 pounds. That's the way it was back in that day.
Mm-hmm.
You had to share with the owner of the land. And when we picked 100 pounds of cotton, we knew we were going to get 75 pounds of it. And we could sell that, and that was our share. The other cotton went to the owner of the land. And that's when we made enough bales of cotton that he could have what's over. Got four bales of cotton. He at least got one bale out of that. So taking one share.
Who did most of the plowing? Your father or your brother?
I had brothers. They plowed, and my dad did too. And we all hoed cotton. We shared. We milked cows and did everything it was to do out there. We also shared with our own wood. It belonged to Mr. Bivens, Mr. Lucas' place, we lived on. I remember living in three different places. The first one that I worked on the farm was Mr. Billy McCord. I don't know whether you know where that was, but it's on the back road going to Greenville. It's called up the Syrian and go. Don't go through easily. Then we'd go above that. And then we moved to that was Mr. McCord's place, they called it. Then we moved to the Looper place. Out here at 12 now. And when we were living in Oconee County, we lived in a little log cabin, and it was my grandfather's place. Yeah. And all that was washed away, during the flood and the dam busted up at Topsfield. All we could get away from there is just a few bed clothes and a few clothes for us and left them over there. And come this way, and then my dad's older brothers went back to Seneca. That's where we lived.
How many brothers did he have?
He had, there were four boys, one and girls in the family.
Do you remember your grandfather?
Yeah. I have cared for my grandfather. Maybe he was real old. He was up in about 90s. I cared for him. And then after he died, we brought grandmother and kept him here in that little house right across there.
Right across the street?
No, right across from that fence there. That's the little house. That's where my grandmother was when she died. My grandfather died over there too. He was much earlier than she did. And they were Rosemans, my mother's people. My daddy's people were McKinney's. And he didn't have any sisters or had. Am I going too fast?
Yeah, that's I'm jotting down just some things.
My daddy was a McKinney, my mother was a Roseman.
And that's the streets named after your family?
Yes, I lived in that little piece of house right there. That's where my grandmother, my grandfather died right there. But grandmother got burned in the house. And of course she was going to stay with her daughter out here towards the... Oh, of course that meal, we used to go and have corn.
Hey, good.
Yes, no. So that, I know where the Hagen Mill is, but that's not the one. I don't know. It's go right out this road by where Tony's place is. Back out in there, there's a mill back in there, and she went to stay with her daughter, and she left her in the house, and she got burned up.
So do you know when was, do you know when your father was born?
I have it written down, I think I'm 18 and something. I have it written down, I think it's in the Bible, but I can't keep all that in my head.
What, did your grandfather ever tell you any stories about when he was a young boy?
Yes, he would tell, but he was always talk so harsh to us. I guess after he read all his children, he just didn't want to be bothered with grandchildren. We was afraid of him. He always kept us away from him. But if he'd be sitting out in the yard, he'd say, "Going away now, we had to go." And I can't tell too much about him, but grandmother was a very loving person. And she would always let us know that she cared for us. And she always felt that she was sorry for us to be left alone because our mother died real early. She was, whenever she died, the baby wasn't 3 years old. And my daddy had, I hear him so many times in his prayers, in the night, and I'd be waking up by him saying, "Help me to raise the children because I'm the mother and the father too." And I can't hardly give you all that story because it fills me up too much. But anyway, we come up on the rough side of the mountains. And I don't know of anything I could come about in talking to you, but I could write down some things and go through the papers that I have at the house and give them to you that way.
Okay.
And then if you give me your address, I'll mail it out to you.
Okay. Do you know, would your grandfather, was he born before the Civil War?
Yes, sir. He was. both of them. Ansel, my grandfather was named George, my daddy's father was named George McKinnon. And he had a son named George McKinnon. And my mother's father was named James Roseman.
Did they, when you were younger, did either one of them ever say anything about slave times?
Yes, Grandfather talked about it a lot of times.
What types of things did he say?
He told me that he had a real good master. He always called him his master. And he always cared for him. And when it come rain or cold weather, he'd always bring him to the big house. They lived in a little shed. The house, something out, you know, on the farm. And when it would come a cold weather, he'd always bring his slaves in, and, you know, keep them warm. And of course, as soon as they were weather where they could come out, they would go out to work. But according to grandfather's saying, he had a real good master that cared for him. He looked out for him. He wouldn't let him stay out in the sleet and the snow and in the bad weather to go back in the mountains. And he would just sit down and tell us a lot of times about how good they were to him. But whenever things were going well, the weather was available to work, they had to work, you know, and they worked for him. But they never had anybody that mistreated them. Always kind, real good to them, which made, I think, much better for all of us. We heard of a lot of people that lived in that vicinity that had black people working for them, real meaning to them. It wasn't that way, because my father and my grandfather and all of them, they had good people that kept working, but they didn't ever abuse them. So I wouldn't know anything about abused people unless somebody I've heard of, but not in our family. We always had good people that we worked for. And then whenever their freedom came, my grandfather said that they shared their emergency line for them to give it to them. And put them up a little log cabin, and they'll live there. And the old log cabin stayed there, and maybe there's some of the logs were there now. They all, you know, rotted down, but they lived, built this little log cabin and lived in the back of the house where they were given this piece of land. And they give them everything that they worked on around their house. And when they finished their crop, they could go over and work for the master, whoever, until finally they came about a resolution, I think it was called, that everybody had to have a piece of land given to them free from the masters. And they went out on that one. And we come along. We had our own place, and we didn't have much to grow a farm on, so we would rent the farm from Mr. Biggins, Mr. T.O. Biggins, if you heard about him. Well, his father let us have some land to work on, and we'd have to give him one share of it. Say, for instance, if we got a bushel of corn, we'd give him a half a bushel, not a third of a bushel. We took two thirds. Give him one third and two thirds, whatever we made.
Mm-hmm.
If the same way we had potatoes, if we had a field of potatoes, we would take two shares and give him one of what we made. That's the way that we survived.
Mm-hmm.
Until when we left, they were given a piece of land to live in. And then we not anymore, we had to work for what we had. We worked for ourselves. If we went to work for them, they would pay us. We survived.
Do you remember most of what you were saying? That grandfather was the James Roseman, or
right.
the McKinney grandfather?
That was my father's.
He's the one. Did he ever say anything about the slavery times?
Well, Grandpa always talked about, he stayed in the house mostly and towed in the wood and kept the fires burning. And he married one of the girls that was working in the house for the people. And they had four boys. They had two boys at first, and they named him George after my grandfather. And he kept those two boys in for a long time. And when he had two more boys, the master told him that they need to get out and get in a bigger house, for he had two more children, which made four in the family. And then my grandmother and grandfather were six people. So they built him a little house, you know, in the back of the yard.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived there until finally, whenever freedom come through, these people from the north and told them they would have to not have any more people, slaves or something. So they had to give them a piece of land and build them a little house. And they lived there. Well, grandfather died there, and we had to bring grandmother and keep her, you know, to us.
Where is your grandfather buried?
One of my grandfathers buried out at Oconee County.
Is that the Roseman?
Yes, it's Gap Hill.
He's buried at Gap Hill. Is that at a church?
It was a church, but it's not there now.
Gap Hill
Church, that's where they live now.
What kind of church was it?
It was a Baptist church. It was on the other side of 6 Mile. You know anything about 6 Mile up there?
A little bit, not too much.
Ms. Duncan was having a nursing home out there, and I worked out there before I built this one here.
And is your grandmother buried out there also?
No, she's not buried there. She's buried down at Bethlehem, where you know, on the Liberty Highway back in. There used to be a old church back there. It was called Bethel, Methodist Church. And my grandmother's daughter wanted grandmother to be there where she was, and so they buried her here in Bethlehem in the Liberty Highway. You know where that place is?
I came in through Liberty, but I'm not exactly sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, this, you turn off the road. There's a place back in there called Bell Show. You turn to the right and go out in that way. And on the left, going to Liberty's back in the woods there. And it's called Bethlehem over there. And on the other side was called Bell Show.
Mm-hmm.
Now this was on your right going to Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Called Bell Show, I think. On this side was called Bethlehem. And they're always doing the counts and the Roseman buried the things back in there. My grandmother and my aunt were always buried back in Bethlehem. It's just a little place before you go down that hill when you're going to Liberty. You know, the hill goes down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just when you get on top of that hill before you go over down into lived at it's a cemetery out in the and on the left is
where
the
where are your other grandparents buried?
They're buried back at some new church. I forgot it. But anyway, it's in Oconee County.
It's in Oconee.
I believe it was called St. Peter. It was the name of the church, St. Peter. It's just across the King River. You know where the old jail house is on top of the hill at Kiwi, across the Kiwi River?
No, ma'am.
Well, anyway, the dam and all that plants up in there now. But up there, if you ever go across that river, you take the right just after you cross the river, and on top of that hill used to be the courthouse there.
Oh.
Pickens Courthouse.
I didn't know that.
I think the building's still there. It's been a good while since I don't know what it's been anymore. But it was an old courthouse. And they moved it from there to Pickens. That's where the first courthouse was.
Oh. Well, I didn't know
it was right on top of the hill. They've got that plant all out in there.
Mm-hmm.
But the old cemetery, if you go across the river and you go kind of around the hill on top there, you see names, McKinney's, and all the blacks, and the old church is gone, but the families from there buried up in there.
Let me go ahead and ask you, do you have any old photographs of your family? Or of you when you were young, a teenager, or any photographs that your family might have of your parents and your grandparents or anything?
I have, yes, I've got my mother and dad's picture. It's a big one, I'm framing that size. I have it up there in the trail. And then I have a picture of my dad, you know, just a few years before he died. And I'll have to go back and look up some old pictures for you, because I think I have quite a few. But it's going to take a while. Just, when would you want all this? Soon as you can get it? Or do you have a set date for it?
What we're going to do with the photographs is the Pendleton County Historic Museum is going to, with Clemson, make an exhibit which is going to include photographs of some of the people who were interviewed and some of the people who were living in the area in before 1920. Mm-hmm. So if you could look through and perhaps give me a call and like to make copies of those.
Well, you give me, you get your card in the morning, and
okay.
I'll go up with them. It'll take me a while because some of those things are packed.
Okay.
And I think I have a little trunk up there with some.
Let me see. I wanted to ask, now, both of these churches, you said one of them was a Baptist church. Were both of your parents Baptist?
No, one of them was Methodist. But most of us were Baptist because we didn't have one church for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Methodist movement came about with the more preacher that come to the way he came from the man Gibbs, and he was a Methodist, and he started this Methodist movement, you know, Reverend Gibbs, I can't remember the first name, she did last night. And he taught school, the first school I ever went to was at Crossroad, that across the Kibbutz, or not the Kibbutz, 12 Mile River.
What was did the school have a name? Was there
Crossroad?
Was it the 12 Mile Crossroad School?
Mm-hmm. It's just beside the other side of the 12 Mile River. We're going out to what they call the Crossroad. And they built a church out there, but it's not there anymore. The grounds are there. But we used the church for school through the week in church on Sunday in the summer building. And I might have some of the pictures of some of the buildings. I don't know. I'll have some of them. Because they ride up back there sometimes.
Do you ever go to any, did they ever have any camp meetings when you were a child?
That's about all they had. Camp meetings.